Hey there, sexy. Before I get into it, I want to apologize, because I know this is late. But I unfortunately got snowed in, and I just got back to my hotel room. I know what you're saying. Snowed in? There's no snow in Florida. Well, I'm traveling currently, breaking my New Year's resolution almost immediately. But, so it goes. Anyway, you know what this is. It's time for that monthly show, where you ask me naughty questions, and I give you answers to the best of my ability. As always, we have so many naughty questions, so let's just jump right into it, shall we? The first naughty question I have is from Anna. Anna asks, so this, I'm not sure if this constitutes as a naughty question, but I felt more appropriate asking this here versus a regular get to know night. And you totally can. If you're not sure if it's naughty or not, you can always just ask it at naughty. And if it isn't, I'll move it to get to know night. My first question is twofold. First, if I have a bachelor party one day, would you want strippers or a stripper to be there? What if your friends planned it without your knowledge? Would you be okay? And would you enjoy it? Would you accept a lap dance? I mean, I think it comes down... Well, there's a second part to this question, but I'm going to answer the first part first. I think it comes down to what my fiance would want, you know, because if she's adamant, no strippers, no lap dance, then I would say no strippers, no lap dance. If she's okay with it and she's comfortable with it, then I would accept it. But would I plan for strippers? No. Knowing my friends, would they invite a stripper? Probably not. I think they know me well enough not to invite a stripper. Yeah, I'm almost certain. Like, if there's going to be a stripper, I want my fiance there. Like, I want both of us there together, you know? Over just, yeah. So, I think that would be my preference. If there's going to be a stripper, I would want my, like, future wife to be present. And then the next part is, and the second part of the question is, would you be okay with your fiance having a stripper at her bachelor party? And what about the cliche, typical... penis paraphernalia everywhere. I'm not sure what men think of that tradition. I have no problem with the penis paraphernalia, and I'm honestly, I have no issue with the stripper. If she wants a stripper, she can have a stripper. I'm like, I'm not too fussed about it, because I know she's going home too, and I think I can outperform the stripper, so I'm not too worried. Would I want her to get handsy with a stripper? No, obviously not. But yeah, I trust my wife enough not to get carried away if there's a stripper at her bachelor party. If her friends bring a stripper, because I know, like, she probably wouldn't want a stripper, but if her friends bring a stripper, I wouldn't be upset with her. I would understand. And the penis paraphernalia, I would hope there would be. I would hope there's, like, penis straws. I hope there's, like, penis cocktail glasses, penis confetti. I hope there's penis everything. So, yeah, I'm totally fine with it. I have no problem with with dicks being everywhere, and that's totally fine. Yeah. I hope I answered your question, Anna. I really appreciate you asking it. Let's see. The next question I have is from Anonymous. They asked, do you have a list of tit-sucking audios? I don't think so, nor do I think I have a tag for it. Yeah, I don't. Maybe I should make a tag? I don't know. I'll think about it. I don't know how many audios. That'd be really hard to retroactively go back and find which audios have that in it. Yeah. There are a lot of audios. I will consider adding a tag moving forward. Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't even begin to tell you which audios do and do not have it. Yeah. I'm so sorry. I wish I could. I know someone in the comments probably would have a better idea than I do. I made a lot of audios, so it's hard to keep track of which ones have what in it. But yeah, maybe I'll make a tag moving forward, because it's probably not a bad idea to tag that. So yeah, I'll consider it. Thank you so much for the question, Anonymous. I really appreciate it. Let's see. Oh, Anonymous asks, hey Kay, I hope you're doing amazing. I am doing amazing. I'm a little cold, but I'm doing amazing. So there's a trend on the internet called a hear me out cake. Yeah, I've heard about a hear me out cake. It's about a 2D character or literally anyone that you'd want to date/fuck. I really want to know what your biggest or weirdest hear me outs are. For example, mine is Vecna from Stranger Things. Yeah, I get it. And I've heard a lot of girls say Vecna, so I'm not surprised. But yeah, I need to know what your hear me outs are. Okay. The problem with my hear me outs is I don't feel like they're going to be hear me outs. I guess like I was going to say Shigo from Kim Possible, but that's not a fucking hear me out. Like, that feels like a no-brainer. Do you know who might be a hear-me-out? Someone was explaining to me a hear-me-out cake, and they said that Martha May Hu, the one from the live-action Grinch, is a hear-me-out character. And I was like, that's crazy. She's not a hear-me-out at all. But apparently she's a hear-me-out character, so I'm going to throw her on my hear-me-out cake. Yeah, why wouldn't you? I think that's crazy that someone told me that she's a hear me out. I'm like, she's not a hear me out. But yeah, I'm going to put her on my hear me out cake because I really can't think of anyone else. Who would I put on my hear me out cake that I'm just like, yeah, hear me out? What about, the nurse from Silent Hill? That feels like a hear me out. The nurse from Silent Hill is definitely a hear me out. And I mean, in the same vein, oh, fuck, I can't remember her name. It's Lady something. Lady Dima something. I can't remember her name at all. I would put her on there. That's definitely... I feel like she's also hear me out. Someone said the girl from Powerpuff Girls. The secretary, which is kind of a crazy one. I don't see how she's a hear me out. Because, like, you don't see her face. I don't really see it. I feel like she's like a no-brainer. But yeah, I guess for some people she's a hear me out. I'll throw up on my cake too. I feel like those are some good suggestions. I feel like I added to the cake. I don't want to throw in things that are just like very obvious though. You know, like ones where you're like, duh. Like someone said Meg from from Hercules. And I was like, that's not a hear me out. That doesn't count. It has to be something that you're just like, okay. You know, like Vecna's a good hear me out. Because immediately you're like, okay, I can see what you're saying. I don't jump on it immediately, but I get it. I get why you're coming from that direction. Yeah, don't roast me too hard for my hear-me-outs. I think I did a decent job. I think I have a good spread. Maybe they're just like too obvious. I have to think about it more. I have to really sit and ponder this. Maybe I'll come back with better hear-me-outs. Maybe I'll do a whole hear-me-out cake episode. That'd be fun. Actually, I might do that. Yeah, thank you so much for the question, Anonymous. I really appreciate it. Let's see. Anonymous asks, do you prefer the role of soft or hard dom, and why? Do I prefer the role of soft or hard dom? That is a very person-specific question. I think I prefer the role depending on the person. I guess in a vacuum, with all things being equal, I think soft is my answer. I like being a soft dom. I like the gentle, like sweet, nurturing nature of being a soft dom. Like there's just something appealing about it. I don't want to be a fucking hard ass. I don't want to be like, I want to be soft and gentle and kind and sweet and like build you up and like, I don't know, and give you like a safe space to play and feel like free and, you know, and like achieve the best version of yourself or the best parts of yourself that you can't access in other places, you know? Like for me, I think that's what being a dominant really is about, is giving people security. And I think it's really about security, about offering a secure place to play and explore and just find the parts of yourself that you're interested in getting in touch with, and having someone who's there to guide you and keep you safe through all of it. I mean, I can be a hard dom. Like, it's definitely something I'm able to do, and I can, like, access that part of me if I need to. But it's definitely not my favorite if I had to pick between the two. I think being a soft dom, there's just something kind of magical about it. So, yeah. And I think that's also a reflection of how, when the tables are turned, what I am responsive to. Like, I'm never going to be responsive to a hard dominant, but, like, a soft dominant, you might have me. So, I think there's something in that, too. So, yeah. Thank you so much for the question, Anonymous. I really, really, really appreciate it. Let's see. Anonymous asks, from a guy's perspective, in a one-night stand situation, do you think it's too much to ask for aftercare? Or what do you say is better to ask for in a long-term situation or scenario? I don't think it's ever too much to ask for aftercare. I think when you have intimacy with somebody, regardless of what the context is, I think there should be some level of, like, because even in a one-night stand, there's still a level of trust in that exchange. You've trusted them enough to sleep with them. You've trusted them enough to, like, you know, have this moment and create this memory with them. So, like, I would hope that that person would give aftercare. I mean, I don't think there's any situation where I wouldn't give aftercare. I think, you know, after sex, there's something, like, really magical about taking a moment and, like, collecting ourselves and just kind of reveling and staying kind of, like, connected afterwards. So, yeah, I don't think it's too much to ask. I think it's, if anything, it's the bare minimum. But that's just my opinion. But, yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much for the question, Anonymous. I really appreciate it. Z asks, hey, Kay, question for you. What is your definition of amazing sex? Is amazing sex a session determined by length, the amount of orgasms, the skill of your partner, etc.? Thank you so much. I don't think it's any of those things, actually. I think it's a level of connection. I think amazing sex is defined by... yeah, because you could have amazing sex with someone who has no skill. We come both once, and it was like 10 minutes, you know, like a short session. Like, and I think that could be an amazing, you know, it could be amazing sex, because it really just comes down to connection and desire and, like, want. I think that's, like, the most underrated part of sex. I think really good sex is about wanting someone, like, in a primal, like, base level. Like, you just want them, all of them, and you need them, and, like, you want to be as close as you can, and the closeness we have isn't even close enough, and we want more and more. I want all of you. I want, like, it's like envelopment, it's like encasing, it's like it just surrounds you. It takes you. And I think, like, that's what defines amazing sex for me. I think it's in the passion of it. It's in the want, it's in the desire, the hunger, the, like, the neediness, the, like all of that. Like, that is amazing sex. It could be fucking fast, and it could be with someone who has no skill or knowledge about, like, what they're doing, and it's still really good, because it's about the chemistry of it, and it's about the draw and the pull, and, like, I don't know, the energy, the magnetism. There's just something there, and I think that's what defines amazing sex more than anything else. Like, you can fuck for 2 hours and not get that chemistry, you know. So, like, I think it's something outside of those parameters that really defines what amazing sex is. I think it comes down to want. It comes down to desire. And I think that's what really defines amazing sex. So, yeah. Thank you so much for the question, Z. I really, really, really appreciate it. All right, let's see. Kitten asks, hey, Daddy K. Hope you're having an amazing day / night. I am so far, yeah. One of my favorite audios is More Pet Play. Oh, I'm glad you like it. That's an old one, but it's a good one. I think it might be the collar jingling sounds. Yeah, I remember doing that audio. What would your go-to for a collar be? Would you make More Pet Play with a mention of collar or collaring? Yeah, I mean, so I think personally, I do enjoy Pet Play. I think Pet Play is really fucking cute. I think there's degrees, just like there is in DDLG. Like, it's like a sliding spectrum, from, like, one to the other. I think the parts of Pet Play that really appeal to me is the collaring, and also, like, the intimacy of, like, snuggling and just, like, the possessiveness of it. I think there's something about all those elements of it that makes, like, for a really great scene. Yeah, would I be interested in doing more? For sure. I would happily do more Pet Play. I also do enjoy the collar sounds. I think it really does. It's nice when you compare it with, like, the rhythm of everything. So there's an appeal there. What would my go-to collar be? I think for a go-to collar, I really do like the idea of designing it with, whether it's for a pet or a little, I think there's just something about designing it with them in mind. Like, sure, obviously I could go out and get like a collar that I would be like, oh yeah, I think this is great. But I think there's just something more intimate and personal when they have a hand in making their collar and like co-designing it or co-opting what was made. Because then the end product feels more intimate and like more tailored, you know what I mean? Like you pick the fabric, you pick, you know, do you want a bell or a charm or a name tag, or do you not want any of that? Do you just want a collar in and of itself? Do you want something on the collar? Do you want it to be plain? Do you want it to be leather? Do you want it to be satin? Like, is your collar just a bow or a piece of ribbon that you tie? Like, you know, is it a necklace? Like, there's just so many ways you can go about collaring that doesn't have to be like the traditional collar. And I think there's something kind of beautiful about, you know, tailoring it and getting it to be something, I don't know, something that they like. I think my favorite collar of all time was a necklace because I thought it was subtle and it could go anywhere. And I thought it was one of my favorites. I thought it was such a sweet little, like, I don't know, such a sweet little collar because it essentially didn't seem like anything. And she could just take it anywhere. And I thought there was something magical about that. But yeah, I think ultimately, I guess the question is, what would I design for a collar? So I think for my collar, if I had to design just a collar for someone without knowing anything else, I think I'd go simple. I think I'd go black, like a choker style, and either name tag that's really small, really, really small, or a bell. Yeah, a bell would be really cute. Like a very small, like dainty little bell would be adorable. Yeah. Oh, back clasp. So it requires like me to put it on her. I mean, she could probably put it on herself, but something that would be hard for her to put on herself, but something that would require me to put it on her. I think there's something about that too. So yeah, that's my ideal collar. Thank you so much for the question, kitten. I really, really, really appreciate it. All right. Let's see. Ashley asks, hey, Kay, Miss Nurse here. In turning you, actually every vampire not safe work, if a vampire doesn't have blood, how does a vampire get hard? I think my answer is that it's just going to be in a suite of powers. Like, he has the ability to turn to a bat and fly. He can also just get hard. And I guess indefinitely, because it's not constrained by, like, blood flow or coming or anything, so I guess a vampire can just get hard on command. So yeah, that's my answer. Thank you so much for the question. I really, really, really appreciate it. Let's see. Anonymous asks, hey Kay, do you love it when your SO sits on your lap? Yeah. Yes. Yes, I do. I think it's a really, like, yeah, there's just something sweet and intimate. Like, you can do it anywhere too. I think it's like one of the most intimate things you can do, like, publicly, and no one will really bat an eye. Like, just, you can sit on my lap, and it's just, you know, it's just like a, it's your seat, essentially. Like, no matter where you are, you can always sit on your seat. So, yeah. I really do enjoy it. Let's see. Anonymous asks, hey Kay, does dirty talk come naturally, or is it something that you can learn and develop? I think it's something you learn and develop. I don't think it comes naturally to anybody. I mean, maybe it does come naturally to some people, but I think it's definitely like a skill, like any other skill. And the more you practice it, the better you'll be. Like, just practice being vocal. I feel like dirty talk for women is way easier because you could literally say whatever the fuck you want in like a breathy voice, and it is immediately dirty talk. Like, as a man, I don't think I have the same ability to, like, I can't just say anything. I mean, maybe I can. Let me see. Let me test my theory. I need to find something I can just like randomly read. What do I have? I have like a bunch of random fucking lists here. Let me like pull something random that I can just like read off of. It's something I can actually read. Something that's not work related. I can read this. the tube rattled like a stubborn old man who refused to rest, its groans and squeals cutting through the low hum of human noise. I'm seated near the door, pressed against the corner where the stale smell of steel and damp fabric lingers. The air down here always feels heavy, like it's carrying centuries of secrets whispered by those who pass through here. Across from me, a woman in a navy coat clutches her takeaway coffee like it's a lifeline, her swept into a messy bun, the kind that's more about survival than style. She stares past me at nothing in particular, her eyes glassy with the weight of a day that hasn't ended. I wonder who she's going home to, or if she's even going home at all to anyone. A man in a neatly trimmed beard and a briefcase boards at Green Park. He slides into the seat beside her. Their arms brush as he settles. She doesn't flinch, doesn't even glance in his way. But there's a flicker of something in her posture. I think about how many lives intersect like this, briefly, without acknowledgement, in this city of millions. I don't know if that was dirty talk. I mean, it wasn't dirty talk. It fundamentally wasn't. It was just me reading an excerpt of something I've been writing. But yeah, I don't know. You can make anything sound sexy. I think it's just more about how you deliver it than what the content of it is. So yeah, I think you'll be fine. Yeah, I think you'll be fine. You can literally say anything. Just feel like super liberated in that truth and just say what comes naturally. I guess, like, if I was going to give any real pointers, I would say talk about how you feel, talk about what you want done to you, talk about what you'd want to do to them. Those are always great conversations of dirty talk, you know? Like, God, I want you to fuck the shit out of me. God, I need to feel you, every part of you. No, no more. No more. That's it. Yes, that's it. Oh, fuck. Fuck, that feels amazing. Yeah, just like that. Oh, I need it. Yeah, I need it. You don't even understand. Oh my God. Fuck, you feel amazing. Yeah, just like that. Oh, just like that. No, don't stop. No, fuck, don't stop. Because I need more. Yes, I need more, please. No, you don't understand. Yes, just like that. Yes. Fuck. No, don't slow down. No, don't slow down. Right there, find it. Oh, fuck, right there. Yeah, you know just what to do. Oh, you know just what to do. Oh, fuck. Oh, right there. Oh, right there. There's really something about asking for you to come, or begging for them to come, or letting them know that you're gonna come. Everything around that is always so stimulating. We're guiding their hands, like, put your hand fucking right here. Yeah, right there. Oh, I want to feel you against me. No. Feeling your body under my fingers. You want me to hold your hips right there? Oh, fuck, just like that. Oh, I'm not gonna stop. Oh, I'm not gonna stop until you come. Because I want you to come. Oh, I want you to come for me. Fuck, I want you to come for me. Oh, I know you can't. Oh, I know you can't. Oh, fuck, dude. Oh, big girl, and come for me. Oh, fuck, come for me right now. Oh, I know you can. Oh, I know you can. Don't stop. Oh, don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Fuck, if you come, I'll come with you. Oh, I feel it. That's it. Right there. Right there. Oh, fuck, yes, I am. Oh, fuck. Oh, that's it, that's it, that's it. That's a good girl. Oh, that's a good girl. Oh, you come nice and hard for me. Oh, you come nice and hard for me. Oh, my good girl. Oh, my good, good girl. See, it's like, it depends, because as a girl, it'd be a little different. You'd be guiding him more, like telling him what feels good, what you like, and how you like it, and where you want it, and how you want it, you know? That's a good start for dirty talk. I think it'll develop into, if you just practice that, your dirty talk will get very, very good very fast. So, yeah, I hope that helps. Thank you for the question, Anonymous. I really, really, and with that, that brings us to the end of Naughty Get to Know Night. If you have a naughty question that you'd like me to answer, feel free. There should be a link down below in the doobly-doo where you can ask me whatever naughty question you like. Anyway, I hope you have a great, 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 great rest of your night. I'll talk to you later, okay?